One of the great seven wonders of the world is the Great Wall of China. One of the emperors in China got sick and tired of invasion from the people around him. So he decided and he said the best way is to build a great wall around China to protect his country from any invasion from anybody that would like to come and invade the country. Do you know how many times China was invaded after they built that Great Wall of China? I might miss a couple of them, but I think there are 17 times. 17 times, in spite of that Great Wall around China, that people still go and visit and marvel of the magnificence and the strength of it, China was invaded. You know how they did it? Well, when they built the walls, they have gates. And they put guards on the gates. One of the things that when the Chinese Revolution have taken place is Mao Zedong, the Chinese leader, got everybody that used drugs, smoked drugs, and killed them. He just destroyed them. Because what happened, the nations around China, they start sending people to hang around the gates, the doorkeepers, the gatekeepers. And they taught them how to smoke drugs. You think it's funny, but it's serious. They taught them that stuff. And the guards became friendly with these people. They adopted their habits and they started smoking those kind of drugs. And they all fell asleep at night. And China got invaded 17 times in spite of having a great wall around it. One of the things that we are concerned about is how the enemy could come in spite of what you think that there is a great wall around you. The enemy might not be able to knock the wall, but he is going to go through a little hole that he could make in the wall. And that, by desensitize you from the danger around you. These guards were happy every night, smoking. They were high. Everything's fine. They fell asleep. The army comes in, destroys the country. When God created man, He did not make us only spirits. He made us spirit, soul, and body. Every one of you is composed of spirit, soul, and body. When we sit in a Bible reading, we get some instruction concerning our spiritual life. And then we go from here and Brother Chuck tells us, hurry up. Get online for lunch. So you take care of that body. Well, how about your soul? Well, you guys also take care of your souls. You have friends. You hang around your friends. You talk about your friends. You talk to your friends. And you get that emotional feeling, that emotions, that feeling, somehow satisfied. Your spirit gets satisfied from the Word of God. Your body gets satisfied from exercises, games, and food. And your soul gets satisfied from your satisfaction that you get from having friends. God have created desire in us. He created desire for the soul. He created desire for the body. And He created desire for the spirit. And they have their place. There is nothing wrong with that. As long as we guard that and we make sure that none of the guards are smoking drugs and falling asleep and getting high. And then the enemy comes in. One of the dangers that we see is now we have, I don't know how many, whatever number we have in this room here. I think Was it you, Tony, or Chuck? Somebody said 135. So let's say 135. So maybe there are 70 young ladies and 70 young men. I don't think there's halves, so gotta be. Gotta use. All right. Very close. But what happened is this. In that kind of atmosphere, you develop friendship. I want to ask you a question and be honest with me. How many of you, today is Wednesday, are so worried about going home and so worried about the question that you might be asked, did you find a boyfriend? Did you find a girlfriend at Grove City? What's wrong with you? I'm serious. And he said, boy, today is Wednesday. All I have is Thursday and Friday. What am I going to do? And that's what we want to talk about tonight. And we're going to be very frank. We might laugh about these things, but we're going to talk about them from the Word of God. Because I want to tell you something about the Bible. Don't you think, don't ever think that the Bible is just written for few brothers or few old sisters to read about in the meeting and explain to you how many times this was mentioned in there, or who are the four group of people that the Spirit of God baptized in the book of Acts to make that church. Not only that. We said that if you want to get the teaching about the assembly, you read Paul's epistles. And right away, I think it was last year we took Ephesians. And in Ephesians we have the truth of the assembly, wonderful things. But you know what in the Ephesian epistle that Paul have written? He talked about relationships. Natural human relationship. Husband and wife, parents and children, employer and employee. All of these things are in this book here. And I made sure I brought my book that is like torn apart, because Chuck said if you have a book, if you have a Bible that looks brand new, it kind of tell me that you never read it. This thing is like falling apart, really. That's what you got to do with your Bible. You just keep reading it until it looks like this. But the Word of God have instruction for everything we need. So I'm going to now leave it open to Tony and to John. And we're just going to talk together among ourselves to you about these things. They're going to show us some verses. We're going to bring some examples from the Word of God. But I am very serious about what we're going to talk about. And I want you to take it seriously. Just like I want you to be well established in the truth of the assembly and to know why you do what you do and why you go where you go. That's vital. That's important. I want to make sure that none of the enemies of our souls will sneak in and knock that wall down. Because I tell you this, I know young men and young women that I looked to them a couple of years ago and I said to myself, wonderful, they're going to be going on for the Lord. They are into the Word. They seem just going on nicely. And then I don't see them and I ask a question. And I hear that they have fallen in sin. Horrible stuff that have taken place that completely destroyed them. And sometimes when situation like that happen, sometimes there is no recovery. You're going to bear a scar for the rest of your life. And the last thing I wanted to see is any of you in a situation like that. It's a very serious stuff.
Last night, we heard about the testimony of men and the testimony of the Word of God. What a great way to think to begin, that the testimony, that which is in God's Word, would be that guide that would give me direction for my Christian life. You know, when we talk frankly about these kinds of things, I fear that oftentimes we take our guide from the pattern of the world. But the pattern that is in God's Word, is that not what we are to be separated unto? Aren't we Christians called to live a life separated unto Christ? We've talked about that a little bit even in our morning Bible studies, that this new lifestyle that we have come into as being, knowing the Lord as our Savior, would be that which would characterize not just the part of my life that goes to the meeting, but that it would characterize every aspect of my life, whether that is my going to school, making a decision whether to go out with the guys at night, or doing my homework, going to work. Every step we take in life, practical life, is to be done in a pattern that reflects Christ. And so, when we speak about relationships that we have between ourselves, wouldn't it be normal that the pattern that is given to us in the Word of God would be that which would be our guide? And so, I would like to just read two verses for introduction. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, that'd be without blemish, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or your intelligent service. And be not conformed, that's sanctification, set apart, be not conformed to this world, but, the offside to that is, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove or discern what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there is a renewing of the mind. And so, just by way of introduction, is our mind set on things that are above? Seek those things which are above where Christ sits, we're told in Colossians. In Philippians, it's said to us, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Is our mind filled with Christ?
You know, one of the things that we want to say is that we understand what it's like to be young teenagers, young adults. And I want to say that, you know, there's a very delicate balance with what we want to present to you tonight. You see, you live in a world, young people, that increasingly is presenting to you alternate lifestyles. And on every newspaper stand, each month or each week, you're hearing sometimes about cases, lawsuits that are going before the Supreme Court of this land and in other countries to allow and to validate same-sex relationships and marriages. And we don't want for a moment for anyone to think that those things are correct. And if you're a believer, you know that God made Adam, and he built a woman from the man, and he brought that woman to Adam. And I know you've heard brothers say he's made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. So we understand that God has made young men to be a certain way, and he's made young ladies to be a certain way as well. But we also want to raise a red flag. I want to know how many of us here are ready for marriage. Let me put your hand up. We have one person that's ready for marriage. Okay. When I was 22 years old, I gave an engagement ring to a woman who became my wife when I was 23. But when I was 20 years old, and when I was 17 and 15, I was not ready for marriage. In Hebrews, we find the Word of God says that marriage is honorable in all things. The bed is undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And that was not written to unbelievers. It was written to the saints, the Hebrew saints. Now, I want to read and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Brother John presented a very familiar verse to us in Romans. We know that verse by memory. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 may not be a verse that we know so well. And it has to do with the flesh. Be not deceived. Evil company corrupts, or evil communications corrupt, good morals. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and one verse here, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So you say, Brother Tony, what are you talking about? I mean, this is a verse that's talking about in Galatians about agriculture. And, you know, you said you're talking about relationships tonight. Well, this verse and the verse in 1 Corinthians is a verse about the flesh. You see, it's a wonderful thing to come to Grove City, to be a young man and a young lady in our local assemblies, and look across the room and see a young lady that is nice looking. It is a wonderful thing to look across the room and to see a young man that you think is handsome. But there's more to it than just the look. We know that David got himself in trouble with a look. But if David had looked, and David had confessed that he had sinned with his eyes, David might never have gotten into the trouble that he did. For the scripture says, be not deceived. You see, the look from David went from a look to a desire, to an act, to murder, and it cost David dearly in his life. We want to say to you, young people, some of you are beginning to form relationships. Now, I don't know, and John and Brother Amo, we don't know what your family's opinion is about this. But we want to tell you what the Word of God says. We're going to speak a little while about Ruth. We're going to turn to you the scriptures about a young man like Timothy. We're going to remind you of the parents of the Lord Jesus and Mary being a spouse to Joseph. These were individuals that were mature. They were ready for relationships that would take them to marriage. Now, someone, can you point a verse for me in the scriptures that talks about dating? Does anyone know of a verse or portion of scripture that talks to us about how we should conduct ourselves as young people, 14, 15, 17, 18, older, on a date? Ah. Oh, you found one? Okay. Someone tell me why you think we don't find scriptures that way about this dating issue. Arranged marriages? That's a very good answer. And you're absolutely right. So who arranges marriages? Who? Yes, John. The Lord arranges marriages. How do you know that? Do you know anyone in Scripture that he arranged a marriage for? Excuse me? Well, somebody help him out. Is there anyone in Scripture that the Lord arranged a marriage for?
Isaac.
Isaac. And who was the young lady that he fixed up to Rebecca. Isaac for?
Rebecca.
Rebecca. Help us out. Who?
Adam.
He made an arrangement.
He was sleeping.
And that's a good, point. That was Adam. He was sleeping. Isaac was in the field meditating. And I want John and Emil to jump back in here, but I want to, before we go down the path about marriage and relationships, I want to tell you young people, you will not find in scriptures anything about young Christians dating in the scripture. Because God arranges our relationships that are going to take us towards marriage. The principle and the whole idea of dating is something that has come up in our culture. It is something that is propagated by, I want to say, Hollywood, but even beyond Hollywood, the things that are contrary to the Lord, they really are a system of things that Satan is pushing. And so we want to encourage you, number one, to get together as young people in groups. We want to encourage you to go out and do things where there isn't pressure of me sitting here trying to figure out what I'm going to talk to you about, and you sitting there and saying, you know, what is this guy, you know, he doesn't have more than 4 or 5 sentences. And in my head, what I have is the imagery that I've seen in the world on television, in the theater, and where else, that says I'm on a date and I have to figure out, well, how am I going to get my arm around her? Right? Guys, we understand that. But the scripture says, be not deceived. Be not deceived, young people. Evil communications corrupt good morals. If you are taking in things that are sinful, that are polluting the mind, and I talk about the things that you see in the movies, you watch on television, you listen to on your tracks and your CDs and DVDs, I want to tell you, those things will corrupt you, and they will move you on this line of the flesh. And the scripture says in Galatians that whatsoever you put down in the ground, whatever man puts down, you put down corn, you're not going to get apples. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap.
But Brother Tony and Brother John, help me out here, because you guys are not fair. Number one, there is dating in the scripture, and I'm going to show it to you.
Show it to us, brother.
All right? Number two, hold on a second. We're growing up. You know, I still remember many of you. I've been coming to Grove City forever. So I remember you guys, you young ladies, were just little, running around in the classrooms back there and making those funny projects that you make, and you're so proud of them. And it was like a big deal. Mommy, come and look at what I did. And Daddy, look at that.
Interesting.
Yes, yes. And now I look at you, young men and young women. Years pass when you guys were young, the boys played together. As a matter of fact, you will build a tree house or something and put a big sign there. No girls allowed. Those girls are no good. We don't want any girls around here. We boys are together. The girls are the same thing. Boys are dumb and stupid, and we don't want to work with them. Now, all of a sudden, you grow up and you are developing, and inside of you, help me out here, because we're struggling. We're no longer little boys and little girls. We're mature. The boys are shaving. Some of them are driving. You know, we're men now. We have responsibility. And the young ladies, they look like young ladies. So look, we are struggling with what you're saying here, that we should not be attracted to the boys if we are girls, or to girls if we are boys. Well, isn't that God, that God created these desires in us? So, okay, so if yes, the answer is yes, God created that desire, and we're growing up now, and our body is maturing enough. So, what is your problem? Why are you saying that we should not have relationships? Why?
Ask John.
Ask Tony.
I think Tony have said it earlier. I think that song that we have there about In His Time. Because it's not only that your body is developing, but are you emotionally ready? And you might say, yeah, of course. What are you talking about? Are you spiritually ready? Of course. I memorized someone and I could tell you the whole 7 verses. Is that a mark of spiritual maturity? And if because your body have developed to be a man, is that a mark of that you are ready for marriage? Because God have ordained that for marriage. Now, the world system is this. You get to that point where your body's developed. Look, you got to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. And you got to do what God said it should be done only in marriage. Because that's the way it is. And if you don't do it, well, something's wrong with you. And they're going to look down on you because you're not cool. I want to tell you about the first girl in the scripture that dated and what happened to her. Mm-hmm. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 34. See, the word of God is written for our admonition, to teach us and to help us out. We're living in days where 12 years old, 13 years old, are talking about boyfriends and girlfriends. Give me a break. We're talking about 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19, talking about relationships. Give me a break. Come on. So, there is a girl who was brought up in a very nice home. Her father knew the Lord. She had brothers, 12 of them, to protect her. She decided one day to go out. Now, I'm going to pick on someone to read that for me. Caleb, why didn't you read it for me? Chapter 34, and read to me the first 5 verses. Well, no, just the first 3 verses.
Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to visit the daughters of the land. When Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, the prince of the land, saw her, he took her and lay with her by force. He was deeply attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the girl and spoke tenderly to her.
Okay, that was the first date. She went out to hang around the girls and see what the girls of the world do. And apparently the girls of this world, they don't hang together, they hang with boys. And the boys of this world, when they see girls of this world, they do things with them that ought not to be done. And Dinah went in there to kind of find out, it might be interesting. I just want to see what they really do. I've heard about these things. I want to really see it. Don't believe everything you see. You have to experience everything, right? You have to experience everything. You have to know everything. Don't believe everybody, everything they tell you. Foolishness, right? If I give a jar here and I put in it sulfuric acid, and I said to you, drink it. He said, no way. Said, it's poison in there, drink it. You said, no, I'm not going to drink it. Well, don't believe me, you have to try it yourself, right? Is that the right principle? Do you have to try it yourself? If the word of God saying it's wrong, do you still say, I have to try it myself? So Dinah went to try to see how things are going. And a disaster happened in the household. As a matter of fact, a disaster happened in the whole city. Because somebody went on a date. That's why dates are not mentioned in the scripture. And that's why she wasn't ready for marriage. And that's why at 12 years old is not. And 16 years old is not. And 17 years old is not. And so on. Because to be married, to have a relationship, You have to reach the point. Am I running ahead?
No.
You have to reach the point. Number one, you got to be responsible. If you're going to take care of a wife, young man, you got to be able to support her. You got to be able to pay for an apartment or for a house and for a car and for insurance and for food. Now, if you have a part-time job while you're in high school, you make enough money to buy some beets on Friday night, two slices maybe, if you get some tips at work, and maybe milkshake or Coke or something, that's not going to support the house.
Give me a scripture for that.
I don't know.
You come on. Give me a scripture. You have your Bible right there.
Well, there's got to be a scripture for that.
All right, go ahead.
Isn't there?
Yes, there is.
Who knows one? Emo's telling us that we have to be able to support. Buy pizza 7 times a week. McDonald's breakfast 5 times a week. There is a verse in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Guys, are you prepared and ready to provide for your home? Emo's telling us that's a very important. It's one of the responsibilities we have to be ready to get involved in a relationship. Are you ready to provide and open your pocketbook?
So what you're saying is this. Finish school and get a job. Is that the first thing?
Get a job.
Get a job. A real one. And then you can get a life after that. Finish school. Finish college. Get a job. And all of these things shall be added unto you. That's the first thing, young man, you have to do. Finish with school and get a job. That's the first thing. So at the meantime, what am I going to do? I mean, I'm still in high school, so I have 4, 5, 6, 7 years for college or whatever it is. Am I going to be for 4, 6, 7 years without a girlfriend? Come on, they're going to laugh at me. What am I going to do in those 6 and 7 years? I come to Grove City, I go to the winter conference, I go to the camps, I do all of these things, and there are young sisters that are nice, they're nice looking, they're spiritual, they cover their heads. I talk to them on instant messages all the time. Some of them have their MySpace thing, which I wish they will just kill it completely and don't put anything in there. And we talk to each other, and things are nice. So what do you want me to do? For 6, 7 years, until I get a job, am I just going to hang like that, dry? Help me, Tony.
Coming to you in a second. So, Brother Amo, what you're saying is that the Scripture says, for everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. See, we aren't saying, young people, that you're not going to be interested in one another. We're not saying that we want you to be abnormal, because even if we ask you to do that, you can't do that. But what we're trying to tell you is that for everything, there's a season. You know, there's a saying that if you put the cart before the horse, you're going to find yourself in trouble. If you are trying to handle mature adult matters and you are not ready for it, you get yourself in trouble. Dinah found herself in a situation that was not a good environment for her to be in, and we want to place some responsibility on Dinah, and then there was a responsibility we place on the person who forced himself upon her. But as a young lady, there are certain places you ought to go and certain places you ought not to go. As a young man, there are places you should find yourself and there are places you should not find yourself. But when you put things out of order, I think there was a school, I was reading about this some years ago, and the school was trying to promote abstinence. And what they did with a particular class is they brought in doll babies, and they had students walking around with them throughout the day to let young men and young ladies know what was involved with taking care of a child when you were yourself still a child. And it became a burden. And in life, what you find is that if you move and put the cart in front of the horse and you have a child and you're 16 or 17, when your friends want to go to do something, well, you now have a responsibility in that being that child. But if you wait and you recognize that in God's time, He will provide for you the very best mate, and that mate and yourself, you get married, and the Lord blesses you with a child. When that child comes, you're finished with your teenage years. You're finished with kicking a ball and hanging out. You now say, listen, I have a job, I have a wife, I have responsibility, and I am mentally, physically, spiritually prepared to handle that responsibility. So is that what you're talking about, brother?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. So what we're going to do is this. We're going to wait. And while we're waiting, we are not just going to be an isolated people. Everyone out of all of you going to be sitting in his corner and having a veil on his face so he would not look at the other person next to him. Not at all. I want you to hang around each other in a group. So if there are 70 young sisters in here, young men, you have 76 girlfriends. Can't get better than that. They're all your friends. They're all your sisters. You are together in a group. Because what happened is this in practicality. I have seen many of you. Friday comes and the whole world is collapsing. Because I have my eyes on this young man. The whole time, he didn't even look at me. I'm going home. My whole world is collapsing. How am I going to start school again? What am I going to do with my life? And the young man comes. Some of you have tears. I know it. I sat with you. What am I going to do? I can't go home like that. And I go home and I pray. I said, Lord, please help them. The following year, I'm coming and I'm watching. Oh, now what? What's going to happen? They're not even looking at that person that they were crying about the year before. Because when you are 15 and 16 and 17 and 18 and 19, your body's growing. Your brain is growing. You're emotionally changing. Well, some of you get hooked with somebody. And then what happened? Things don't work out. And you break up. And there is an emotional scar that sometimes it doesn't heal. And it takes a long time to heal. Save yourself from all of this trouble. Hang around all of them in a group. Play together in a group. Talk to each other in a group. And say to yourself, they're all my sisters. And say to yourself, they're all my brothers. And then what am I going to do? Keep waiting and keep waiting and keep waiting. Let me give you another example of another young lady. I gave you the first young lady that went out on a date and caused havoc. I'm going to tell you about another young lady that waited upon the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Ruth. Another young lady. And John said, we better hurry up. Otherwise, we're not going to eat. And I'm just going to read. I want you to read. I'm going to ask somebody to read to me a couple of verses in chapter 2 of the book of Ruth. Now, you know the story of Ruth. Here's that young lady, a Moabitish. She's stuck with the God of Israel. She loved the Lord so much, she said, I am going back. Now, if you said, and even when Naomi talked to her, he said, wait a second. Ruth, there is no way that you're going to get married. You're going to go to the land of Israel. Everybody going to look at you. Who is this stranger, this foreigner? She speaks with an accent. Nobody's going to look at you. Just like me. speak with an accent. Nobody's going to look at you. So what are you going to do? No, I love the Lord. I am going to stick with the Lord. And the Lord will take care of me. So she goes there and she has a job. She's working in the field. And Boaz told her in chapter 2, I need somebody to read to me in verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. Whoever had it, please read it. If you want to eat tonight.
Oh, no, oh. Oh, then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go to glean in another field."
Read on.
Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens."
Okay, Ruth, hang around the girls. Stay with my maidens. Hang around the girls, Ruth. So Ruth heard that, and then she went home after she worked very hard the whole day. And she told her mother-in-law, let's see, verse 21. Can somebody read to me verse 21? Quickly. Did Boaz said that hang around the young man? No, he said hang around the girls. She switched it around. And her mother-in-law noticed that right away. Just like we are talking about these things. We said, hey, we are noticing some things in here. So look at what her mother-in-law said. She said in verse 22. Somebody read it to me, please. Okay, stay in a group. Hang around the girls. And stay in a group. Don't stay one-on-one. You know what happened. You know what happened when you are one-on-one. Don't tell me that you talk about the weather. Or about what's going on, how are we going to take care of this matter in South Lebanon and get Hezbollah to kind of evict South Lebanon and stop the war in Afghanistan. You don't talk about these things. I know. Trust me, you're not going to even talk about how many times prayer was mentioned in the book of Acts. So, but if you are in a group, you will watch for each other and you will help each other. And Ruth waited upon the Lord. Did the Lord provide her with a husband? I want to hear yes or no. Loud one.
Yes.
Any husband? The best in the town. The best one of all. Because everybody know that this girl was holy. She was pure. She was chaste. And there is beauty in holiness. And that's why young sisters, God created man in a certain way. Men had a problem. It's called eyes. That's why some of us wear glasses. Man's problem is their eyes. I know. I am one. I'm in. That's why. I'm serious now. Young sisters, you are my young sisters. The way you dress, please, don't cause the young men to stumble because the way you dress. It's very serious. I know it's hard to find decent clothes in the stores, but work hard at it. Don't look like the girls of the world. You are a child of God. There is dignity and there is honor. And I'm not saying put a veil like the Amish. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying is this. Men, look. Well, they shouldn't look the second time. But they do. You, young sister, be careful how you dress. So now, we wait on the Lord. We get a job. And while we're waiting to finish with school or college to get married, we work very hard like Ruth. We go together in a group. We do everything together. And we maintain holiness all the time. Now, what other verses we have that tells young men to behave when they are with that? Because I told you, young sister, watch out how you dress. This is how men get stumbled. Young men get stumbled. Now, how about the young men? Do we have verses in the Word of God tell us how young men should behave?
Titus chapter 2. And this isn't the only one. There are several in Scripture. But somebody can read Titus 2, verse 6, 7, and the first part of verse 8.
Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. Oops, sorry, having no evil thing to say of you.
Sober-minded, good works. It's a pattern of good works in doctrine showing uncorruptness. You know, in this time where we're going and finishing school and we're going to go and find a job, what are we doing with this? When we talk about being spiritually ready, spiritually mature to be able to guide a home, to guide your wife. You know, when we talk about relationships, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And it says, a threefold cord is not easily broken. And when we think of these relationships, we're thinking of my girlfriend and me, my boyfriend. There's two people. But for the Christian, that's dead wrong. There's three. The other is Christ. And we build our relationship around Christ as we are mature spiritually. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. You want that relationship to be strong? Nothing can break it. Build it on Christ. Mature spiritually. There's some more verses in 1 Timothy.
Now I want to ask you, and I see the hands in the back. We're trying to keep a cap, and we've got time. But I want to ask you a question. If you went to the store and you had an opportunity to buy a garment that was soiled, would you purchase it? Someone said they'd want a discount. I wonder.
Man, you go for the cheap stuff. Yeah.
I would think that you would want the very best garment that was on the rack. There's a verse in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 27, that says that one of the... It's speaking about what true faith is, true example of the things that we say that we believe. And I just want to read this last phrase in that verse. It says, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Brother Emil was talking about how young men are made. And we see women... And God has made it that we fix our eyes upon a woman. The world will tell you that it's okay to touch her, to spoil her. God says it's sin. I want to tell you that. And I don't know, young people, if any of you are in an immoral relationship now. But I'm going to tell you, the Word of God says, to him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And if you know what God's standard is, and you are involved in immorality of any kind, maybe you haven't, as they said, gone all the way, but you have been close, somehow gotten to stages of touching, the scripture says that that's sin. And it will ruin you. When we cross that line as young people from having a healthy relationship with young people, and we start dillying and dallying, I'm telling you that you are spoiling yourself. You'll come to a point in your life that the young men will begin selecting or asking the Lord, if it's a spiritual young man, asking the Lord for a young lady for his wife. Well, I can guarantee you that if you've been a young lady that has been loose or perceived to be, you will be perceived to be damaged, spoiled goods. You will not be the first one selected. Maybe you'll get someone that wants you at a discounted price. Maybe. Maybe. And I want to say to the young men, the same standards that the Lord has for young sisters, he has for you. The Word of God tells us to flee fornication. Flee youthful lusts. We've said it in our Bible study. Be careful. Not be careful. Don't go online and look at things you shouldn't be looking at. And I want to tell you this. You know, here's a real story. There was a man who was a piano teacher. He was a relatively young man. And he fell into sin with a student who was almost out of her, she was out of her teenage years, 20 years old. And in talking to this man, you know what he said? He says, I can't tell you how things went from A to B so quickly. Well, I had to say to him, I said, you know, I can tell you how it did. Because when you play with fire, you'll get burnt. It didn't start with that rush of passion at that moment. They were playing all along. And then that moment happened. So young people, we want to tell you emphatically, allow the Lord to give you the very best for you. Rebecca was a young lady in Genesis chapter 23. That when the servant went out looking for a bride for Isaac, that she was found by the well. And the well speaks of the water there, speaks of the Word of God, the activity of the Spirit of God. She was someone who was interested, as we apply this spiritually, in divine things. She was someone who provided assistance to a man who needed water. She never knew that that servant had said to God, listen, show me, give me a sign. Let it be a young lady who acts this way. And here comes Rebecca. And she was the one that God had marked out. Brother Amel was talking about how we dress. And I was impressed with Rebecca that when she went and they were coming to Isaac and Isaac was in the field, she said to the servant, who is that man? He said, that's my master. You know all those bracelets I gave you, Rebecca, to show you of some of the wonderful character of this young man? Well, that's my master. And it says that when she got near and she sprang off of the camel, it said that she veiled herself. It is a sign of respect both for herself and the man that she was going to. The world says, let's uncover everything. Let's let everything hang out so that everyone sees what's on the rack. Young ladies, even young men, because today it's all about the six pack and the pecs. Okay? You see, the world wants us to deal, young people, on the line of what is fleshly. And if you want the very best for what, who God has for you, it's not going to be on the line of the physical. It is wonderful to be to say, Lord, I want a young lady, a young man that I think is attractive. That's a wonderful desire. But you know what? Beauty and the body is only for a very short period of time. If there isn't a spiritual desire in that young man or young lady, I want to tell you, you're going to find that you're going to have a household that has a lot of problems. Someone said to me the other night, I might have said this in the Bible study, you know, my children don't have any interest in the conference. And I just listened. I didn't ask any questions. He said, do you want to know why? I said, I don't know what you said. Okay. He says, because my wife has no interest in spiritual things. And young sisters, you know, see, this is the time for you to be preparing yourself spiritually. Not preparing for marriage, preparing to be young men and young ladies that are a good example or an example of the believer. So that when people see you, whether it's young men and young sisters in the meeting or friends at school, they look at you and they say, you know, that is a young man that knows how to conduct himself well. He has a good attitude. He's fair and honest. There isn't anything that's deceitful about him. All his cards are on the table. And when they see you as a young lady, well, you aren't a young lady that's just, oh, in the midst always of all the guys. No, you're with the young ladies. And it's a balance. We're not saying you can't talk to guys and have friends. But you know what I'm saying? Where there is a healthy balance. And then there comes the time in the season when we are now ready. And you don't really know sometimes that you're ready. But God starts to make things happen. Boy, you start saying, you know, I'm 24. I've graduated. I have the basis by which I can support a household, a wife. And boy, look, this is so-and-so has always been here. She's in the meeting. She loves the Lord. And things come together. And you don't have to force a relationship. You don't have to make her want to hold your hand. You don't want to have to. The Lord just, like Rebecca, was brought to Isaac. And you know where Isaac was? He was in the field, young men, meditating. And I want to say this, and Emil can close up, and John, but I want to say this. The young ladies sometimes are very disappointed in you young men. You hear it?
Here is a loud amen. Man. See, that's why we don't let women speak.
But you know something? And they are right. Because you know, as I look around at so many of the young ladies that I know well, I know that so many have real desires for the Lord. And the young men are lagging behind. Young men, you gotta get with it. You have to take this foot that's in the world and put it solidly on Christian ground where you want to follow the Lord Jesus. You cannot go to school and be flunking out because, well, you know, I'm bored. Well, do you think when you're looking for a wife, they want Mr. I'm bored at school and can't get out of high school? No. They're going to look at that young man, and the Lord's going to provide that young man who is ready. Because when you get married now, and you've got to work in the docks late at night and three jobs, it has an impact upon your home. You can't go to meeting. You can't pray with your family. You're exhausted. Your health suffers. Because when the time was for you to be preparing, you were slacking off. So, Emil, John.
I'm just going to say this. So, you guys are going to go happy the end of the week. Because when somebody asks you, did you go to Grove City? Yeah. Do you have a boyfriend? Well, there were 76 of them there. Did you go to Grove City? Yeah. How about the girls? There were 73 of them there. They're all wonderful sisters. Let's read one verse together before we close. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read that verse together, all of us. Verse 12, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. All of us going to read it together, loud and clear. Help me out. Right? Are you ready? One, two, verse 12. Go. Stop right there. That's one part we all like. Hey, no one should despise me because I'm young. But that verse didn't stop there. Read on.
But be thou an example of
believers. Be thou as an example. Okay, read on.
In words.
How do you speak? Read on.
In conversation.
Got you. Read on. Read on. In love. In faith. And what is the last one?
In purity.
Let's close in order of prayer.